instance, he ran from Geneva to Savoy in 1728, and after a long time of traveling, he settled in Paris in 1741. Another intriguing fact is that he was an active contributor to the Encyclopédie, coordinated by Denis Diderot, with topics related to music and economics. His works span various topics, but its philosophical ideas have been strong enough to create elements which state builders have continued to try to apply. In Discourse on Science and Art, Discours sur les sciences et les arts, published in 1750, he claimed that people are good by their nature, but have been corrupted by society and civilization. This confidence in the human natural kindness differentiated Rousseau from the other Roman Catholic writers. His operetta, The Village Soothsayer, Les Devins du Village, had lengthy success, and in 1752 he got into a dispute with Jean-Philippe Rameau on the comparison between the merits of French music and those of Italian music, with Rousseau supporting the latter. In Discourse on the Origins and Cause of Human Inequality, Discours sur l'origine de l'inégalité parmi les hommes, published in 1754, he contradicts Thomas Hobbes by claiming that before the appearance of societies, human life was healthy, happy, and free, and that vice appeared as a result of social organization, and especially of private property development. According to him, civil society is intended to ensure peace and protect property, but since property isn't owned by everyone, society creates a false social contract that promotes inequality. The social contract, Le Contrat Social, published in 1762, begins with a memorable sentence: "The man was born free, but he's everywhere in chains." His most famous work argued that should a society or any state be founded on a true social contract, people would give away their natural independence in exchange for a form of better freedom, political freedom, which he defines as the respect of a self-imposed law established by the general will. Émile ou de l'éducation, is a synthesis of his own ideas and perceptions on education, and strongly influenced the ideas of those who followed him, but it also created a passionate dispute on educational matters. Ultimately, the arguments forced Rousseau to flee the country to Switzerland immediately after the book was published. 1767 was the year that Rousseau began showing signs of mental instability, yet his Confessions, written near the end of his life, remains one of the most critically acclaimed autobiographies ever written. Chapter 1. The Role of History and Literature in the Enlightenment. Reading an encyclopedia and Rousseau's works can provide insight into his life, but understanding the context in which he works requires knowledge about the Enlightenment itself. The movement led to the dramatic changes within France and is most associated with that country and figures like Rousseau and Voltaire, but it had its roots in 17th century England. In 1968, J. M. Guillemot and M. Delaunay, while writing a book about the Enlightenment, came to the conclusion that this period of time was born along with the Second Revolution in England and ended in 1789. They argued that the first elements of the Enlightenment manifested in British culture and quickly sprouted up in France, and given this argument, historians have begun to identify John Locke and Thomas Hobbes as writers of the Enlightenment, even though their works were written before the end of the 17th century. The British Enlightenment ended rather early once the works of Young, Gray, and Thompson laid the foundations of European pre-Romanticism. But another way the British inspired the Enlightenment was through their passionate reading of newspapers, gazettes such as Tatler, founded by Steele, The Spectator, founded by Addison, and The Review, founded by Defoe, constituted not just a means of informing an excessively Puritan British public, but also a means of educating its aesthetic taste. The British newspapers and magazines quickly became the object of admiration of the continent's writers, to the extent that Marivaux and Prévost produced French magazines based on the British model. Their admiration for England went that far as Abbot Prévost suggested that if Paris appeared to be the capital of Europe, London should be considered the capital of the world. Such high praises of England and its early development of the Enlightenment rather require a further analysis of the British history which led to such transformations in this nation's life and culture. At the time, British history had experienced profound changes which had affected the structure of the society and its mentalities, determined to a great extent by the Glorious Revolution of 1688. England's prosperity led to an early consolidation of the bourgeoisie,